I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burma. Accept no savagery.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another edition of Achtung Millwall. In the aftermath of yesterday's disappointing, shall we call it insipid, defeat up there at Huddersfield. Joining me on the show is one of the 700 and something brave, hardy souls that made the journey up the M1 to the Galle Farm Stadium, I think it's called. It's Kevin Fuller. Welcome to the show, Kev.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having us again. Cheers.
Well, thank you for coming, mate. Well done for travelling up yesterday. We were just talking off air about it. 700 plus travelling support is a pretty good turnout, in my opinion. It was a tough watch to watch it on a screen. What was it like for you to actually make the journey, mate, and be in the stadium yesterday?
It was tough, Nick. Yeah, lots of misplaced passes, lots of not holding possession for long enough. It was very frustrating, but if we'd have come away with a 0-0 draw, perhaps we'd have got something. Perhaps we'd have, you know, but we were poor from the start to the end, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I try on these shows, listeners, to put at least a day between the aftermath of the game and then hopefully you think a little bit more logically in the cold light of day, Kev. And I was trying to make some notes and I had a quick look at the highlights before we spoke now. And there's just such a lack of content. I mean, the highlights barely make 2 minutes. I know the YouTube highlights never go on for long, but there was one opportunity for Jed Early where he had like a weakish shot on goal.
Yep.
The outside hint of a chance around 20. I think it fell to Scott Malone, but he didn't really get hold of it. And then there was that late penalty shout. But apart from that, Kev, that's it from the Millwall perspective. And that's got to be a problem.
I agree. I've got those noted down, Nick. Yeah, just Jed's weak shot on five. And then, the chance for Malone, which is scuffed. Yeah, lots of huff and puff, but no real attacking threat. Yeah, so.
And you contrast that with Huddersfield. I mean, I made some notes as it was going along yesterday. And I know I've got the advantage of the side camera, so, and a bit of a replay. But there's, a succession of decent-ish chances where a better day they could have expected to have got a shot on goal and scored. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, that was a really good chance just after half-time, which Bart made one of those miracle
save. Yeah.
And I thought, how did they miss it? So, there we are. And then obviously going up into late, we've got the, there's an opportunity before they scored where it was cleared off the line. I think Hutchinson got it off the line from a free kick and a headed situation in the corner that allowed the goal. I take the view. I mean, I go around in circles, Kevin. I'm interested to know what it was like from your point of view, because, if you look at the cold hard statistics, we were sitting in amongst a group of 21 points looking upwards. Yep. And, who knows? You could never predict the outcome of a football match, but it's that lack of, there was just a lack of direction, lack of energy yesterday. I found really strange given the opportunities that were in front of us. I don't quite get that bit.
I think the fans were all up for it. We all thought we were going to get a result there yesterday, didn't we?
We've had
two good performances. We're looking upwards again, and we're all on the edge of our seats that we're going to get a result. And that's why the performance was disappointing. Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't argue with the starting 11. I wonder whether Billy was going to be on the right of in the wing back, and Ryan Leonard, I thought, might be in the centre. It was the other way around in reality in the starting 11. I just think Ryan, having seen what he could do against Stoke, I was wondering whether he's a little bit wasted out there on the right side, Kev.
Leonard needs to be in midfield. Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't do a bad job at right back, Nick, but he needs to be in midfield. And we need to look at the formation. I thought Malone was poor yesterday, absolutely poor. And if he's not going to give you anything going forward, why play him defensively? I'd rather Wallace.
At least Murray will give you a presence.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just to read out the starting 11 listeners, I mean, you probably would know it by the time you hear this show. So it's Bielkowski, and you've got the back three of Hutchinson, Cooper and Ballard. Malone, as you've mentioned there, Kevin. Billy Mitch was in the centre. Leonard was on the right side. So the midfield was Savon and Mitchell. And then the front three of Ojo, Wallace and Bradshaw. I mean, Bradshaw is... I can't help but like him, even though he's not.
I like him. He runs, which is all you want from him. Yeah, exactly. If Jimmy Adkin could pass, he would have been in the Premier League, wouldn't he? Yeah. So
I'm unsure as to Ojo. I mean, I think he's consistently being misused because the only time we've come alive this season, Kevin, was last week in that brief period after the 4-4-2 was imposed on us. And then suddenly all of the jigsaw pieces seem to fit together and we look like a team that knew how to play attacking football at home. I take that point. Maybe you couldn't have done that at Huddersfield. Maybe you need to take a different approach because they looked a half decent side. But we just look so insipid that I don't quite understand why we don't... Why are we not taking the game to the opposition? It's almost like there's some kind of some default that says we have to be this kind of reactive, negative.
To be fair, Ojo didn't do anything in the first half, Nick, did he?
Really? Not yesterday.
Showed nothing at all, and we were losing it in midfield. And I can understand him wanting to bring in an extra midfielder because that. I mean, I've written down here where was George Saville? I didn't even recognise he was on the pitch until 66 minute. Very disappointed yesterday.
Yep. Bright enough start to the game. I mean, we had that early shot that we've seen on the highlights of YouTube. And I thought we pressed quite nicely early on. We won a few balls and the opportunities seemed to open up and then go away from us. But it was a bright enough start. But gradually, after those initial maybe 15 to 20 minutes or so, it just seemed to me that we started to sit back and Huddersfield started to move a little bit and they looked... They weren't outrightly dangerous, but they looked like they knew what they were doing.
They had some decent players. If that right midfielder, I don't know what his name was, but Thomas.
16.
If he could shoot on target, Nick, we would have been in a lot of trouble because he was ripping Malone a good one down the right hand side, I should say.
I agree. Yeah. He looked their most dangerous player. They seemed to combine movement, and he certainly looked their standout player. That's for sure. I mean, the first half kind of passed. I noted at halftime not much to report. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to get a show out of this, you know, because there was very little to actually talk about, 0-0. And then we've mentioned already that save very early in the second half. We'd made the change at halftime with Keithden Belt coming on to tighten up the midfield, as the commentary team said, which is good. And apart from the chance, well, I think we probably on another day would have gone 1-0 down at that stage. We weren't entirely poor, but we weren't that brilliant either. It was also beige, you know. It's this kind of flat Coca-Cola after the party, isn't it?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I thought with the game in the balance, I mean, I thought we'd done well to get to 80 minutes without conceding. But
Bart kept us in it from another corner. He made a spectacular save. And yeah, I thought our defending at corners today was poor, Nick, to be honest. That really poor.
Well, it really came up with the goal because, I mean, it was a near post header. I'm going to have to question Afobe. I mean, I didn't.
It was his man. It was his man, definitely. Yeah,
it was his man. He's got pushed over very easily. No one else seemed to move to cover that situation. And, you know, they just had a free header into the net, and that's 1-0. And pretty much at that point, it was game over, really, because I couldn't see how we were going to create anything to get ourselves back into it. You know,
we didn't offer a lot apart from the penalty shot, which I thought was a stonewall penalty. So we might have, if we'd have got that penalty and we'd come away 1-1, perhaps we'd have a different opinion. I don't know.
Being a football fan is a fickle business, isn't it? I mean, you know, last week's villain is this week's hero, and
absolutely
vice versa. I don't know. I mean, I think that we've had the Gary Rowett conversation, done it to death online over the course of this season so far.
Yep.
One post that I did read online really stood. I think it was by a poster called JJ. I could be wrong, so forgive me, JJ, if you're not JJ. But it was something about how the travelling fans went up to Huddersfield yesterday. He'd never seen 700 so disengaged Millwall fans from the game. A sense of flatness in the travelling support. And that really struck me, because I think that's the danger with the way the team plays. It doesn't give the crowd anything to feed off of, does it?
Agreed. We got outsung by a bloke with a drum, yeah? And, you know, bloke with a drum and 200 kids, yeah? Got outsung. We all got outsung. And that is because we were flat, Nick. The team were flat and the away supporters were flat because of that, yeah? So...
I wondered. I've not read anything about Danny Mac, and I've not made any inquiries or done any research. I don't know where he is. He didn't seem to be even in the squad yesterday, so I don't know if he's carrying a knock.
I hope he's injured. I hope he can't be out of favour. Surely he hasn't done anything wrong, Nick. In my opinion, yeah.
You'd hope not. You'd hope not. But one of the things that really worries me, and I don't set this thing up to criticise Gary Rowett particularly, but he does seem prone to taking against people. I mean, I'm thinking of the artist Conor Mahoney, who may or may not be good. Who knows? You know, we barely see enough of him to really, really judge him. He gets little cameo roles every now and again. Danny Mac, I don't know. You hope it's a sad thing when you're hoping he's saying they're not, and he's not available. But what else could it be? I mean, he wasn't even on the bench, I don't think, yesterday.
He wasn't on the bench. I hope he's injured, because Danny Mac's one of the, you know, well, I thought he would be in my starting 11 every week.
Well, it would be for me, because there's obviously the whole Ben Thompson question, one of our own, and I suppose I'm wondering whether it is this kind of I'm Millwall and I understand the club, and you're, you know, Gary Rowett, you come from the Isle of Wight or Middlesbrough.
Isle of Wight, that's right, yeah.
It comes off the Isle of Wight. You don't understand our club. And, you know, I just wonder sometimes whether he seems to have a definite idea of what kind of player he wants and what kind of player don't fit into his template. And I don't know. For him not to be even on the bench struck me as odd, when the right side was done willingly enough by Ryan Leonard. But I just would prefer to see Ryan in midfield and doing those surging moves that we saw against Stoke.
Yep, me too. Agreed.
And Danny Mac, that shows some talent for the right sided position, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I don't know what to make of the season. It's really hard. You've got a disastrous season you can kind of deal with as a commentator, but this is not a disastrous season, but it's not.
No, not at all, Nick. We've both, me and you, have seen worse, haven't we? Yeah. And,
a hell of a lot worse, Kevin.
Exactly. Yeah. And win on Tuesday, win on Saturday, and we're back in it, and we're back up again. And that's Millwall, isn't it? Yeah. That's Millwall. Yeah.
I suppose that's being a Millwall fan, being a football fan. We hope for better on Tuesday night. You try doing a podcast, listeners. You try coming up with something new. Because this is a regular feature of our season. We have a little bit of glimmer of hope, and then something like yesterday happens. Well done for travelling up there, Kevin. I know you've got family up there, so you can tag it along with that. But it's still a long drive, and I do, you know, I take my hat off to everyone that went up there yesterday, because that was one of those long northern trips. That
I hope the guy that was taken ill is okay as well, Nick.
Yeah, I saw that. Apparently he had an epilepsy phase. So, but I think he was okay from what I've picked up on Twitter. There we are. Can we show some more ambition in midweek? We've got to, really, Kevin. Tuesday night,
yes, absolutely crucial. And then back on the horse and go, yeah. And then Saturday, yeah, yeah.
two big games. Big thank you, Kevin. I mean, we made a joke, listeners, before we started recording. I felt like I was like Albert Pierpoint walking up the stairs to the hangman's noose. Like, I've got to try and get something out of this.
Measuring up the team, yeah.
So I really appreciate you taking time out of your day, mate.
No problem.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for Tuesday.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hello, Nick. Barry Moon here. Just let you know, those shows you're putting on at the moment is great. It's like you now, retired. I've been retired a little while now. It's just good, you know, good listening. And I thoroughly enjoy them.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge thank you to Kevin Fuller for taking time out of his day to speak to us about yesterday's showing up there at Huddersfield. But joining me now to kick over the traces is show regular and the spreadsheet maestro. It's Mr. Ryan Loftus. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm very well, Nick. It's commendable to yourself for, I mean, trying to speak to everyone about yesterday, at least, hopefully then you'll get something about it. It was not the best game as the viewing. I mean, well done to Kevin for travelling all the way up there. I mean, that is
yeah,
a cause to the cause.
700 plus made the journey up there. I think there was a real sense. I'm just looking at league table, listeners, as Ryan and I joined the call. I mean, Huddersfield actually propelled themselves into the top six with that win yesterday, thanks to that 80th minute goal, that near post header error, near post header, defensive error, whatever you want to put it. And that could have been us, Ryan. Yeah. And I just, I think with the benefit of 24 hours to look back at it all, I can't, you know, it's easy to slag Gary Rowe off. And I think there's a lot of it that goes online that is slightly over the top. And, you know, given the resources and the squad that he has available to him, I think you can always say that we should set up in a different way to the way we set up, depending on the end result. But what really struck me, and I don't know if you agree with this, is that the prize was a top six place. Huddersfield got that prize, just looking at them now in fifth spot. And that could have been us, but we didn't show anywhere near the kind of urgency that said that the players wanted that. I didn't see that yesterday. How did you see the game?
No, it was completely passive for me. It was very concerning. It was such a shame. It was very much the first half against Stoke.
You know, we did
the show in the week, and you spoke with Michael and Harry as well. That second half offered a lot of encouragement. And then what's frustrating is then to have the week build up to then turn up and pretty much do the same display from the first half against Stoke. It was, you know, those clipped balls into the channels that you pointed out before that just still were just aimless and they're not dangerous at all. The Huddersfield back four just did not have anything to do all game. Tom Bradshaw has gone back to chasing shadows for as long as he's on the pitch. I mean, Shea Ojo was hooked at halftime. You know, I don't know if that's a fitness thing or... And that was to, what, put Keith Lebeld in and boost the midfield a bit, which... I tweeted it out at the time. I just don't understand the change. I don't understand what impact that is supposed to have on the game. And it was just, I think Millwall were just, we never looked like scoring or even attempting to score, let alone scoring. You know, there wasn't wayward finishing that we got so used to last season.
No.
There was just didn't seem there was an attacking threat. And Huddersfield weren't offering a lot. It just seemed to be a complete comfortable cruise control. And then it's a set piece goal that, you think we shouldn't be conceding, really?
Well, we shouldn't. I mean, we'll come back to that because I think that was just plain sloppy. I mean, I can't put any other word on it. I mean, I was interested to see Gary Rowett's post-match video on the club side. I don't know if you've seen it, but he was saying at the end of the first half how he felt that Huddersfield was starting to kind of look dangerous, or I can't remember how he put it now, but they're starting to run the show a little bit. Now, Jed Bart made a decent save. I'm just looking at my notes here on 25, but apart from that, you know, there was a sense that they could do something, but they hadn't done much for me by half time. So the response there, which is to bring in Michael Kieftenbelt, which presumably was to stiffen the midfield defensively and not give them more space. I suppose you could argue, largely speaking, in the second half, that kind of worked because they didn't get so many chances that you were really struck by, you know, the floods about to open in the second half. But they did get some chances. But I just think half-time changes spoke volumes because there was this sense that we'd kind of done enough and we were going to take the point back from Huddersfield, and that just strikes me as lacking ambition. I'm sure if Gary Rowe was on this call, he'd protest, forcefully. But
no, of course.
Those moments say a lot, Ryan, don't they?
Yeah, massively. And that is the thing, you know. Rowe, I think he says it enough times after matches, especially when it is the draw streak. You know, he's like, he's not he's not coming out here to try and lose games or try and
what
he thinks is going to win. But for me yesterday, I didn't see what we were doing. I thought we were much, not necessarily worse in the second half, but much more passive and much less active in the game in the second half with that midfield change. I mean, I tweeted out obviously saying, you know, I don't understand the change, and got a couple of responses saying, well, hopefully the idea then is to have Kiefenbeld holding a bit more so Mitchell and Saville can get further forward. And but there was just none of that. There was no forward running, really. There was very little. I mean, we had one shot on target yesterday, and I letters on a postcard, listeners, if you can tell me what that shot was.
Well, I think that will be the very, very early chance that fell to Jed in the first half. He kind of was on the right and cut in and put in there's no power in the shot. The goalkeeper had to go down and take at his feet. It was on target, but I wouldn't have called it a dangerous strike. I actually, because I'm a generous bloke, listeners, I put that down in my notes as a chance, but that wasn't really.
But that was danger. That was the only chance in the game, really. It was. Yeah. I mean, Jed was incredibly quiet. He was very not to dig out Jed. You know, he's done a lot. I think he's in a little bit of a dip at the moment. And he was very quiet when he went up top with Bradshaw, and then later, you know, with the other strikers. He was just lost in the game.
That was a point. I'm glad that you raised that. It was one of the points I wanted to make, because I don't understand. I think the thing with a lot of Gary Rowett decisions is it's quite hard to understand what's going on there, because to me, we'd gone a goal behind. We'll come back to the goal, but then you're chasing it. So Matt Smith comes in, but that's where you want your 4-4-2. Ideally, you do want Jed Wallace doing his right wing stuff, because that's where he's going to, and Ojo had been hooked by then, so he couldn't do it. But you do want that more conventional approach. I don't get, generally don't get why you're teaming two, they're not small guys, but neither Jed nor Tom Bradshaw are small, but they're not, they don't dominate in the air. So why are you playing them as a front two? That's hard to understand, Ryan.
It can work if then the style you're playing plays to it. But the amount of times people, it's like a catchphrase of Tom Bradshaw isn't the target man.
No,
like it's not. But when you then persist with the chip ball zone behind, it's not going to work. I mean, the front two worked quite well towards the end of last season, beginning of this season, with Mason Bennett and Jed Wallace, when they're both, neither of them are quite strikers. And they're, you know, it's almost like a double false nine, sort of, you know, if you want to be that finer point of it. I mean, they're basically just dummy strikers. They're, you know, they are still running wide, and they're dropping in, and they're moving all around. And that does cause problems for a defence, because then they're not, especially if you're up against the back five, if you've got two strikers there who are absent from that position and other players fill it, then the defence almost doesn't know what to do. It was a bit, you know, a few years ago in the rugby when the Italians just didn't ruck, and the England team are a bit, what is going on? But when you then have Tom Bradshaw and Jed Wallace doing it, well, then it's Tom Bradshaw up against 3 6-foot-plus guys, and you know he's a nice lad, but I don't think he'd win in the fight.
He's not a miracle worker, no.
You've got to work with the tools you've got, but I feel like there was so little attacking kind of support yesterday's game. That you're not even giving yourself a chance, almost.
It's a strange season, Ryan. The reason I find it strange, I was just looking at the results just before, literally before you came online now. And, you know, if you look back, we've got wins. We've done some decent wins. We've won at places like Sheffield, and we've pulled off results at, just thinking about Barnsley, I remember. There's others, you know. And we've gone to places and done well. But then when we get beaten, we look so... We look so insipid when we're getting beaten, and I find that it's not acceptable for a Millwall side to ever look insipid. If you're going to be, if you're going to be awful, that's fine. Just give 100% of awful, shed blood of being awful. But what you can't be is this kind of wishy wash that we seem to have a lot this season, teamed with the other side of the selfsame coin that actually we've done some made some good results. Some will say online, by the skin of our teeth, like one post I saw said how we changed formation to the 4-4-2 against Stoke and looked dangerous because that was enforced upon us. I think Evans, Evans that was injured and went off. But The thing that I find interesting is that though that brief period when we went to 4-4-2 and started playing players in conventional positions and with the target man in Matt Smith, which where we came alive, we don't, you know, you and me spoke about plan A, plan B. That didn't really show itself yesterday, did it, at all?
No, yesterday it was just back to that plan A of this is how we line up and this is how we do it. And it's very predictable. And that is the frustrating thing, that it was so similar to that first half against Stoke. And, you know, I mean, Raul even complained about the balls in behind, the chip balls and the lack of really forward movement. Yeah. But that's exactly what happened. And it's odd. You know, you can't believe that Raul is trying to do something completely different and the players are just going on the pitch and going, no, but we like this way. You know, there is a problem there. And it is just, it's a very odd season because we're not awful. And that is, I think that is the problem. For Rauer and for the side and what the fans are.
Well, for many, many fans, I think he inspires such venom. Exactly. Because we're not that bad.
Yeah, but it's not dreadful. We're not in free fall. Like Michael says, we will not get relegated under Rauer.
No, I don't believe we will get relegated.
Finish in the bottom half, really. But what are we going to do? We're going to draw a lot of games. There are going to be a lot of 1-0s either way. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of... Not even disappointment, not even something, just maybe apathy almost, you know. It just kind of ends up there.
I nearly said our expectations as fans, Millwall fans. I'm just wondering whether we sometimes set them too high. But then again, I look at the league table. I'm looking at it right now as we speak. And obviously in the top three positions, you've got the three ex-Premier League sides, Bournemouth, Fulham, and then West Brom, and the money that they bring to the table. But below them are... Coventry, Huddersfield, Blackpool, Blackburn, QPR. So, now, none of those are Super League sides. You know, they're all much... They're us, potentially. Yeah,
and Luton as well up there as well. You know, it's like... And
Luton, yeah.
Small clubs that are run well and are trying to do something different a lot of the time. You know, they have some of them have a slightly different way of thinking and it might be up and down. But, yeah. I mean, Millwall are very much a steady eddy in a league of roller coasters, you know. We're just here on the teacups while everyone else is running around Thorpe Park. And we're, you know, we're plodding along with it and it's all right, but you know,
it doesn't excite, that's for sure. And we've got a long season of podcasts to go with this, listener. So it's very genuinely, I was trying to make notes with Ryan now and Kevin earlier on the show, and it's really hard to squeeze much juice out of this apple, you know, there's not much you can say.
I say to Carl Bates, obviously doing the radio and I follow commentary after every game, I mean, surely he just has a stock set of phrases now. He turn up to the games. He can, you know, record the same 10 or so phrases and it peters out.
And there's another miracle by Bart.
There you go. A 1-1 draw. Who would have seen it coming? You know, it's that sort of stage, but it is very monotonous and routine, and that was the yesterday really did feel like you could see the team watching out and they were going through the motions, and then we conceded a poor goal towards the end and that was it, you know. And there's no real hope. You're not thinking, even watching that game, sometimes you think, you know, it sparks into life and we can have a bit of a comeback, you know. Even against Fulham when we were getting blown out of the water, we still ended that game. We went, oh, we could have quite got something,
we could have nicked something. Yeah,
not yesterday. We weren't There was no sense that we were about to get back in it.
No, I mean, we went 1-0 down to a very poor goal. And, you know, I think you've got to have some accountability. I think Benikofobe's got to put his hand up. And maybe he does it in the dressing room because he gets pushed out of the way very lightly by the Huddersfield forward. Billy should have been there and, you know, covering, doing, helping his mate out who's just been pushed over. And he was missing an action. So the chap has a free flick header, and then it goes 1-0, and that's kind of game over. We did bring in Matt Smith, but then Huddersfield were doing that very modern thing, Ryan, of game management, and they did largely manage their way through to the only other incident of note, which was the handball shout on 90+2, which I thought in real time looked a good shout. I've seen it since on the YouTube replay, and it still looks a recent reasonable shout, but sometimes you don't get them. We didn't get them yesterday.
Yeah, and also, you know, last week we could have had two against us at Stoke as well. You know, a different story. So they do come and go. But yeah, very poor goal to concede. I mean, Jonathan Hogg's not, he's not even the tallest man. You know, I think he's like 5'9", 5'10", set defensive midfielder. You know, he's not a set piece threat necessarily. No. So to concede that goal, that late on as well, when very little has been happening in the game, that is just switching off. It's just defensively switching off, and it's a bit of lack of concentration in a game that, you know, I'm fair play to players for making it through the 90 minutes, but, you know, with that going in front of, I thought Bart might, you know, he had the cap on, but pull it down and have a little nap in the second half, to be honest. I mean, it would be great watching in front of him, but it's just basic. It's very, and it feels, I know, you know, as soon as it went in, Mike and our group texted, set piece again.
Yeah, it does feel
like we are starting to concede, you know, more set piece goals, especially for a side that are so aerially dominant. And, you know, we have a lot of practice heading the ball with the way we play.
And we're so defensively minded, Ryan. You know, it's like the defence ought to be bread and butter. And then you can talk about whether you can score a goal or not. Yeah. But you can't, you know, we're not long past the Italians defending their way through to a European Championship win, UEFA Championship win. And that's elevated. That's the highest art form of the game, the Italian defence. Well, they don't make sloppy errors like we gave the Huddersfield. I know you're talking about very different levels of players, listeners, but that should be the bar that you aim for if defending is going to be our theme tune. And we don't, because that's not the first time we've had other sloppy errors through the season. And I don't understand that.
It does seem that a lot of the goals we concede are individual errors. You know, it's a really odd system. I mean, I have the exact same problem with my Sunday team at the moment where, you know, there doesn't
seem to be... Is Gary Rowett in charge of that by any chance?
Well, we haven't gone to the back five there yet. We're very much 4-4-2 in that sense. But, you know, it seemed every goal we concede there, and we do ship a lot, listeners, but they seem to be individual errors. And it's, but when it's 3 or 4 individual errors every week, then maybe there's a bigger problem.
There's a theme.
You almost start to feel that mill. I mean, under Harris, there was a very clear like structural problem of why Millwall were not good at defending, because we weren't set up very well to defend. And Rowett came in and you can see structure when we had the back five and the midfield two in front of it and defending very well. But especially this season, which isn't something that was really there last season, is these individual errors now starting to creep in. And even like, so against Luton, the first goal we concede where it's a tackle with Cooper and it kind of ricochets off Hutchinson and just rolls out and the player's there. And then again, the second goal was just a turnover in midfield and I think Cooper's quite covering. And so you can quite clearly look at it and go, well, that's a mistake and that's what's cost the goal. But when it does repeatedly happen, and then when there is becoming also a pattern of conceding from set pieces or a second ball from a set piece, you then start to wonder, well, why is it these individual mistakes? Why are they creeping in now when they haven't been? And, you know, that might be down to system. That might be down to form. It might be rubber the green on the day. But, you know, that is Rowett's job to figure out and to stamp out, because if it's going to keep happening, we'll have plenty more chats like this where we're watching a game that wasn't great and one error has cost the game, because we don't score loads. So, you know, when we continue on, we're in trouble.
There's a great Twitter feed called Boring Gary Rowett, which is totally, totally, totally unfair on him, of course. Five at the back and no attack is the strap behind for it.
I think he has that on a leather jacket in his home that he wears out on the Sundays.
I don't know if that's Harry behind that. A big week ahead. We've got Reading on Tuesday night, so we have a chance to set things straight with a rip-roaring display of buccaneering attacking football, 4-4-2 from the off, flying wingers, Ryan, Matt Smith in front of goal, you know, three goals up at half-time. It could happen.
It's interesting now, I think. Obviously, last week is the first time there's, you know, other than international breaks, there's been a full week of rest for the players. So it was very odd. The Stoke, there was a regaining of momentum, it felt, that the Stoke win off the back of Sheffield United win. And you go, okay, look, the Luton game was a blip. You've clearly learned from it. I think, I can't remember who it was on your podcast, but they mentioned it seems to happen for Rowett. We do bounce back a lot. We seem to under Rowett have a lot of bounce backs. When we do play badly, we generally see a reaction from the players. And, you know, we saw that at Sheffield United and they continued it at Stoke. And that was almost in itself from the first half and second half. Now we have again another three-game week where,
yeah,
at the end of it, if it was a repeat of last time, we'd start with the loss and then two wins. You'll end the week after against Reading and Derby going, well, do you know what? That is a good week. And then you go, it's 17 games now. We've only lost four and we'll probably be in the playoffs again. But because of the frequency of the games, it can also turn the other way. And if Millwall don't get off to a great start against Reading and it doesn't go to plan, then it starts
You'll hear about it. That's right. He will hear about it. Yeah.
It is a big week. And it's two games that look very winnable. Two games against sides that are quite, you know, not low down on the table, but, you know, below where we are. A lot of the games we've had recently are the kind of chasing 8-team pack that are going for the playoffs. You know, we've been playing all of those sort of sides. So
yeah. This
is now an opportunity to play a side slightly lower. Can we impose ourselves in a game? Can we take control and play attacking football? You know, can it be five at the back with a very small amount of attack, get up the 1-0 and then make it five or six at the back again? You know, it's...
Big week ahead. One other thing that's intriguing me, no Danny Mack yesterday on the match day squad. And I don't follow it so diligently, listeners, that I can tell you, you know, the kind of aches and pains of every single player. But I haven't seen him get injured. I don't think I've seen him get injured. And I haven't read about any injury. So, you know, is he out of favour? I don't understand. So unless there's some, as we were just saying to Kevin, Ryan, I mean, you know, he said you kind of hope he is injured or he's carrying a knock, because if he's out of favour, then that defies belief.
Yeah, it is an odd one. I'm not sure. I again haven't heard if an injury or selection wise. I didn't see after the game either if anyone asked, but because it's weird because he got hooked, didn't he, at half time against was it against the Stoke game or in the Luton game, and hasn't been back since. And I can't remember if even yet he's been on the bench, but it's an odd one because he looks exciting and he looks a good, like he looks a very good player. When he came back, he was good. And it seems strange that he hasn't, even when he was coming in, there was still the rotation with Romeo, which you do understand, but you're almost not convinced that Rowett is convinced by him. And it's something, I'm not sure what it is.
No, something askew. I mean, you know, we've had the Ben Thompson debate and done that one to death, but you know, young, homegrown, exciting Millwall players that clearly are hungry to do it in front of their own fans, you'd think would be a premium. But who knows? He could be carrying a knock, and it could be that we're kind of making drama in the absence of any other drama. You have to make your own drama up.
Yeah, imagine with him not being in the squad at all, you'd have to hope that is just injury related. You know,
you'd hope, yeah.
He's the only right back we got, Nick.
And he's decent and he cares and, you know, all the rest of it. So there we are. Who knows? Big week ahead. So Reading and Derby, it could all look very, very different by Saturday evening. Let's keep our fingers crossed, Ryan. Big thank you to Ryan for taking time out of his day, joining us on this rather difficult show, listeners. It's been quite a tough gig to get anything to really talk about out of yesterday's performance. But so well done, Ryan. Thank you, mate.
You're very welcome. I'm sure this show, you know, if we always guarantee as much entertainment as the Millwall match I've just watched, which is, you know, take it or leave it. We didn't start in football content awards this year and take from that what you want.
We're back to Rowett's plan A. So anyway, let's see what we get Tuesday night. Thank you, Ryan. And thank you to you too, dear listeners, for tuning into this post-Huddersfield edition of Achtung Millwall. Until Wednesday, we'll do another show Wednesday. It's bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Over to Achtung Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?